You're listening to the Adoption and Fostering Podcast from Misadventures of an Adoptive Dad. Well, hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Been a very busy few weeks.
Have you been busy? I have. I've been very busy. I waved to you on the train the other day.
You did. You came past on your way up Oop North. Yep. It was a National Scottish Adoption Week?
Adoption Week Scotland. Adoption Week, the inaugural Adoption Week Scotland.
Right, and who runs that?
Well, an organisation called Adoption UK were facilitators of that this year for the first one.
Because Adoption UK don't run the English-Welsh one, do they?
No, First for Adoption facilitate ours. The English and Welsh one, yeah.
You're very confused now.
Well, I am, excuse me, because I have just come back from Scotland from doing that. So, and obviously being Scottish, it was a huge honour to actually be up there. So, and do the inaugural one, considering I am from Scotland. So
it's a personal question, and you don't have to answer, did you wear a kilt?
No, I did not.
Well, that's rubbish.
I know it is.
You can keep your Scottish Adoption Week. And I'm going to, next National English Adoption Week, I'm going to dress as a Morris dancer.
I think you should actually just wear your dress that you wear now, which is obviously chimney sweep.
Chimney sweep. I was
your national dress up there, isn't it? But I was disappointed that I, at the last minute, stayed in Newcastle, and I didn't get to see anybody, including yourself, in Newcastle, because was that a Scottish Newcastle? I think it was. I was quite disappointed. Cool. More notice next time.
Yes.
And then we can have that restraining order lifted.
Yes, excellent. And I could have released my children.
Exactly. Yeah.
That would have been wonderful.
And what about you? Busy?
I've been mad busy, but I'm always mad busy. I've been, after speaking to my friend Dr. W, or as I like to call her, the puppet master, she pulls my strings.
She does.
Yeah, she does. We put together a survey and released it about CPV, child parent violence, and with an aim to gather some information to get some funding to do some proper academic research. To then use it to twist the arms of various services. So, and perhaps have an impact on policy. And I think it's an issue that just is always high in the agenda. And I don't know why it hasn't. I do know why. It's difficult.
Yeah, I do know as well. Yeah. And also, you know what, with things like CPV, we have to look at where we've come from. It's like my other half always says, you need to look off over your shoulder, see where you come from. And, you know, there are stages, isn't there? So this is on our list.
Yeah, I mean, this time last year, we were talking about things like the virtual school head and that.
Exactly.
Like a huge mountain to climb.
God rest his soul. Yeah, good old Gareth climbed it.
So taking inspiration from that kind of someone with a purpose and drive and passion.
Yep.
And do stuff. Yep. We'll see what we can do. So I've had about over 200 responses back yet. So that's I've read the data and it's interesting stuff. So as soon as I've got it collated, I will post it and put it out there and do whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this week I went off and I spoke to Andrew Christie, and he's a good man. He's the head of the Adoption Leadership Board, and I believe, I'd not only met him once, and I know you've met him.
Met him much more than once. But then I mix in different circles.
You do. You've got a much better class of friend. But he was a really nice guy, and he was really generous when he came out.
Yeah.
What?
No, I was just going to say, I met our mate Sally D last week.
Did you?
I did. She was drinking in a bar.
Was she? Let's not defame poor woman.
No, I know. No, but bless her. No, I caught up with her. Really, 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 really lovely. Anyway, back to Andrew Christie.
We should get her on, shouldn't we?
Do you know what? That would be amazing. Because she was at the conference and she did her stint, and you could see everybody agreeing with exactly what she said. She is just someone that actually says what everyone else feels thinks, experiences, etc. She's just, I mean, I just have nothing but little love hearts in my head for that lady.
Oh. Well, with that thought, right, well, we'll
back
get
to
around.
Andrew
I'm sure
Christie.
She'll be willing to give her much I'm sure she precious will. Time to us. Right, okay, I'm going to crack on and we shall have a little listen to what Andrew Christie and I spoke to about each. I'm not doing very well with my words tonight. A little. Well, but no more ado, we'll crack on and we'll speak to Andrew Christie and see what he had to say to me. Hello, Andrew. Thank you very much for speaking to me. You are the head of the Adoption Leadership Board. So could you give me a brief kind of overview of who you are and how you ended up in that role, please?
Yes. I trained as a social worker a very long time ago, actually, more than 40 years. And throughout my social work career, I've worked in children's services. And throughout my social work career, I've worked with children who are being placed for adoption and worked with adoptive families.
Right.
And I've been panel advisor. I've been an agency decision maker. And then towards the latter part of my career, I was also the Association of Directors of Children's Services lead for adoption. So it's something that I've been involved in. I've been committed to, really interested in, really for many, many years. And sometimes I reflect on the fact that the first child that I placed for adoption is probably now a middle-aged man. And I sometimes wonder how he is. Well, I often wonder.
Well, that's really interesting because you'll have seen a lot of changes in sort of legislation, culture, society. That gives you a really unique perspective, doesn't it?
Well, it gives me a very aged perspective, I think.
I didn't want to say that.
It is, but it's not unique because I think there's lots of people who've got lots of experience of adoption. So, and I think that's one of the things that I've also learned in time is that none of us has a monopoly of wisdom. None of us really knows all that needs to be known. And so we absolutely, I mean, I've always relied on working with others. I've always relied on listening to others to help inform my thinking. So that, I think that's the perspective I bring.
So that's a lot you bring. Why did you kind of take on the role? Because it's an interesting role, isn't it? The head of the Adoption Leadership Board.
Yes. Well, chair maybe is a better way because head sounds like somehow you're a kind of in charge of people, whereas actually I think as a chair, what I do is bring people together and help people work together.
Right.
And of course, I'm not completely new to the board because I was a member of the board under my predecessor's chairmanship, Sir Martin Neary. I've been a member of the board from its inception. And in fact, I was one of the Association of Directors of Children's Services representatives who was kind of behind some of the thinking, along with a whole bunch of other people and stakeholding interests, that I think led to the creation of the Adoption Leadership Board.
All right. That makes sense. It's kind of progression, and you've already had that involvement. You didn't just get parachuted in to be the new adoption czar.
No. Nobody's ever actually... I mean, I can remember when Sir Martin was appointed. He was referred to as the adoption czar. Nobody ever has described Andrew Christie as the adoption czar.
Right, well, I'll not start that.
Content with that.
Right, it's a peculiar kind of way of framing the role, isn't it? I was looking at the role of the leadership board, and I was thinking about they've got sort of three main focuses, and I was wondering what your perspectives were, because in some ways that role's... A lot of that work has been done and that's been started, and so we're in a sort of a middle period of the leadership board. And so how do you see those three functions, which I'll recap, are basically that adoptions don't break down and that the right support is given, that there are enough prospective adopters to provide homes for children, and that for children whom adoption is the best way of achieving permanence, and that is done with a necessary delay. So where are we at with those three, and what do you see the future for them?
I think what I would say is we've made some progress, but we've still got a lot to do to meet those objectives. And if I could start with the first one, which is support to adopted children and adopting families. Obviously, I think the government's investment in the Adoption Support Fund has really brought about a step change, I think. Although, I am very interested to hear what adopters' views are of that. It's not a perfect system.
Yeah.
But what I think and what I hear when I talk to adopters is that up and down the country, people are having access to more support services than they ever had before.
Yeah.
And many have talked to me about how much they and their family have benefited from that. But there have obviously been some real difficulties. One is it's been so successful, actually, that demand has exceeded the amount of money that's available.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, towards the end of this financial year, which runs from April to March, we are having to impose, or rather, the government's had to introduce some limits to the money that can be made available for each child. And I recognise that's caused some real problems for people.
Yeah.
But what I can say, and this is where the Adoption Leadership Board has a contribution to make, what I can say is that the government is reviewing the position, is going to put a bit more money in next year, and that next year there will probably still be a cap, a limit to the amount that's made available for each child. But it will be more than the limit
that's
been used, towards the end of this financial year. So I'm just using that as an example of kind of work the Adoption Leadership Board has been doing, because we've helped and are going to continue to help inform the government in their thinking about, so how should we shape it going forward into the future.
Has there been a frustration around, because the Adoption Support Fund is kind of separate to what local authorities do when they access it. Has there been a frustration, or I think there has been a frustration, that's a better way of framing it, that a lot of families from different local authorities are having a different experience of accessing it? And do you have any influence over that, or what role do you see in for the board to try and impact on those differences?
Yes, and sadly, it was ever thus. Absolutely acknowledge and recognise that different local authorities are in differing positions and have different approaches. I think the board has a really important part to play, because we've increased the stake, as it were, improved the representation of local authorities, and in that, I think we've been able to, hopefully we're developing an improved flow both ways of understanding and information and development of ideas. And local authorities are organised, as you will know, but perhaps some of the people who are going to read this won't know, are organised into regional groups. And we're very keen to work with those regional groups to help them get to a stage where the position in terms of some of the ones that have the most, perhaps aren't performing as well as we would like, is raised to match the standard of those that are delivering good quality services for adopters and their families.
So is that the regionalization agenda of grouping?
Well, in part it's the regionalization. Yeah, in part. It's not, regional adoption agencies is obviously, I think, actually, a real opportunity to raise standards, to have a kind of a higher common standard. But it's only part of the story. And regional adoption agencies it's going to take a time to put them in place. And it's really important that we, in a sense, don't wait until those new arrangements are in place to try to make the changes that need to be made. And so we've got other ways of approaching it.
Right. Yes, there's a lot to go out there. We could talk about that for hours and hours, couldn't we?
Maybe we'll talk again about it another day.
I'd like to. I'm aware of is on Twitter and Facebook and just through conversations, people have such wildly varying experiences of accessing support. So, for example, I heard this week someone saying it took them 8 months from initial phone call to having a social worker come out to do an assessment for their assessment of need, which 8 months is, you know, needs have changed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Other experiences in different authorities, vastly different, you know, very responsive. But they tend to be authorities that have already got, they're already on board, they're already moving, and so the support fund is supplementary. Other authorities, the support fund is all they've got, and it's anything in between. So,
but at least we're having this conversation now.
Yeah.
I don't think 2 years ago we were having a conversation like this. So that's progress. It, of course, I absolutely recognise that it's completely unacceptable that somebody has to wait 8 months for even an assessment to take place. And that doesn't even, of course, mean that they necessarily received the help they need at the end of that. Yeah. But we're beginning to have a more informed conversation about what needs to happen, what needs to change.
Absolutely. I mean, 2 years ago, out of curiosity, I asked, who's had an assessment of need on Twitter? And the resounding response was, a what? What you're talking about? And one person said, oh yes, I asked for one a couple of years ago and I got it the year after. And so I have a lot of people, I've got children who are older, so it was not even on the cards, not even on the radar for a lot of people. So it is, we're definitely, the tide is moving in the right direction.
Yeah. And this is just to go back to why I took on this role. One of the things I absolutely recognise is that the commitment that adopters are making to children who are being adopted from the care system is an enormous commitment, and it is a commitment for life. And I know, I've got a sense of just what that means for so many people and what some of the huge demands that have been, or stresses and strains have been placed on individuals, which is why I absolutely recognise that what happens after adoption in terms of access to support arrangements is absolutely crucial. And I think there's been an issue up to now, which is far too much attention has been focused on recruitment of adopters. I mean, it's really important that we give that goes well. Matching, it's really important that goes well. But actually, it's only the beginning, as you know, far back. So it's only the beginning of the story.
Well, that's interesting, because thinking about your experience and length of experience, have you seen a difference in that cohort of children who were adopted? Obviously the numbers have fluctuated, but what about the nature of the children that have come through the adoption process?
I'll run a severe risk of sounding like a kind of old man kind of, you know, pontificate. No. But I was reflecting on it because, of course, there's been all the local recent interest, hasn't there? Or focus, rather, on the experience of mainly young women whose children were placed for adoption up until the experience up until the beginning of the 1970s of those who we describe as relinquishing their children.
Yeah.
That, what is beginning to be revealed is it wasn't always that informed a choice. It wasn't always, didn't feel necessary, that voluntary an arrangement. So when I first started in social work, actually one of the things that there was a focus on was doing proper work with those women making choices at that particular step. So that's an example of how far it was really only just beginning, I realise now, at the stage I began my social work career. I think it was the case actually even when I, because the first child I placed, he came from a family which was very, very problematic and chaotic. Mm-hmm. So actually, I think the reality is we were placing children then who had very, very profound needs as well. But it is clear now, isn't it? We understand that. We understand so much better that very high proportion of children who are placed for adoption will have needs that need a lot of help and a lot of support throughout their childhood, and indeed, actually, frankly, into adulthood too. So I don't know that it's changed. I think we just we probably understand it better.
Yeah.
And the reality is, of course, you know, predominantly, as you know, children who are placed for adoption now almost exclusively come from the care system, don't they, essentially?
Yeah. I've taken up loads of time and I've not got off the first point of the top leadership board. But I think you touched on recruitment, and I think that was one of the primary focuses of the board, and I think that has been, by its terms, successful, hasn't it? We've got more families waiting than children.
We have, yes. But actually, in a sense, that's also sadly a reflection of another issue and another problem, which is the switch in emphasis in the judicial process, which has meant, actually, I think there is concern that the number of children who are being, for whom adoption is the plan and the plan that is then made real, is declining. And I mean, it's very complicated to understand why that is, but I do think I am concerned and worried, and indeed the Adoption Leadership Board is concerned and worried, that one of the factors that's driving that perhaps is a switch in emphasis to more effort being placed on looking for placements within the extended family. Sorry about this, Alan. I'm sure it's just somebody trying to sell me something.
Oh, it's okay. I've saved you from that.
Yes, exactly. Just to recap. So I'm worried. I'm concerned that perhaps the decline in the numbers of children for whom adoption is the plan reflects a shift in emphasis, to more placements with what they call connected persons, who sadly aren't always that connected to the child. So that's one of the other things we worry about in adoption. I also have a concern about, you say it has been a success. Well, there have been undoubted successes. The number of children who are waiting for a placement has dropped very considerably, which is great. It means that we're finding we found more adoptive placements for those children. But I'm also a bit worried that actually the trouble is that the kind of system, i.e. the kind of people who are responsible for this, sometimes it's very clunky, and I'm worried that the foot will be taken off the pedal, and actually so people will place less emphasis on recruitment than they should be doing. And I think so we've got to be very careful that there isn't such a drop-off in activity that actually suddenly we find we're back with a problem again.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I'm always very conscious that it feels like adopters hold all the cards often, in that we need adopters, and there's been the approval process has been reduced for them in time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't actually bear into the 3 points of the leadership board, in that actually the recruitment time for adopters doesn't speed up adoption for children, which is the primary focus, isn't it?
Yes. And they're two separate things, really. Yeah. I think. And of course, while we're saying yes, we've made progress on the recruitment of adopters to be sufficient for children, actually, it's still the case that there are some children who have some of the more complex needs for whom it is still a challenge for us to be able to recruit sufficient people to adopt. So it's not entirely a sort of success story. I think the issue about the length of time it takes for a child from entry into the care to placement in an adoptive family is problematic. There has been some progress actually even on that front as well. It's still far too long. Mm-hmm. And going back to the point you were making earlier about inconsistency and variability between local authorities. In some local authorities, it takes far longer than in other local authorities, again, which is an issue which we need to address. I work with the Department for Education and those local authorities to see what we can do to help them improve upon that. But yes, you are right. That is still something. It's still one of the objectives that the Adoption Leadership Board needs to do more work on.
Yeah. I mean, it's a complex issue because I think there are people who even question the validity of adoption. And I think, or perhaps there's a lot of people who question the form of adoption and some of the elements that continue, such as lack of contact. And there's no debate there's a very limited debate around open adoptions kind of much more blurred edges of adoption, which is, I guess from my perspective, that's what we fallen into and found it to be hard but successful.
Right.
But that's not the
more openness in your, yeah. More fluidity in terms of the kind of boundaries, yeah.
Yeah. But what I appreciate is that's not the terms of the leadership board. That's not what you're being asked to do, is that you've been given an agenda. Agenda makes it sound horrible, but you've been given specific aims and goals and you're working to them. You haven't been asked to ask questions.
Oh, that's a challenge. Probably. Well, I think we are in the position whereby, and it's a very helpful one, actually, and I need to reflect on it. But what I would say at this stage is that we don't just do exactly as we're told.
That's our secret. I'll not tell a soul.
Oh, no, not at all, Al. You can go out there and you can tell it. I don't mind. It would be quite helpful, actually, if you did. It's not that we work to a set agenda at all. Right. And it's open for us to extend the areas of that we're thinking about. And actually, and as you know, because I think you sit on one of them, we also have three subgroups. Yes. And one of which is the expert advisory group.
Yeah.
And those subgroups have the opportunity to inform the agenda for the leadership board.
Right.
So if the subgroup, your subgroup, thinks that's something that we should be talking about, then I would be absolutely up for saying, let's incorporate that in our deliberations and discussions. I don't see the remit as confined to the three objectives that you outlined at the beginning, although I know that's, you know, they are more of what we have to do.
Yeah, I guess if you go totally off grid and start asking questions, then that'll be the end of that, then, won't it?
Well, yes, but there are ways and means, aren't there? You know, yes. So influence is a complex business, but that's what we seek to do.
Yeah.
Of course, if we start behaving in a way which means that people no longer want to listen to us, then I think that would be an error.
Yes.
But there are still ways and means of enabling a conversation which can be more challenging, as long as we approach it in a constructive way. Then I think people will listen. I mean, nobody would say, would they, anything other than we have a minister that listens. We are very, very privileged in that.
Yeah. I think, a lot of people ask me, I've met him a few times, and they ask what you think, and they kind of go, it feels like he's genuinely interested. It's not just a career path or a stepping stone to higher things. I have been very impressed with everything I've read and seen of Mr. Timpson.
I share that judgment.
That's fair. So we're going to be as wise as serpent and gentle as doves, aren't we? That's the plan.
Well put.
I think you've touched on everything, really, and I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you're a busy man. So unless
you're pretty busy too, Al, actually, from what I hear. So, but anyway.
Yeah, I sleep well every night when I finally get to bed. Is there anything you'd like to say or anything you kind of think that you were hoping to that we touch on?
I mean, you've already, in the course of this conversation, added to my thinking.
Oh.
And because you're in the business of broadcasting thoughts and ideas, I'd like other people to know that right. Actually, I don't claim to be an expert, although I've, as I explained earlier on, worked in the area for many years. I absolutely am not an expert. So, for example, I have no direct experience of adoption myself. So work as the chair has to be informed by others' ideas. So I guess what I'd just like to say at the end of our discussion is that I really want to hear from other people. I really want to be provoked to have thoughts. So, for example, the point you make about shouldn't the board be considering the issue of more openness in adoption is exactly the kind of thinking that will help me and make it more likely I'll make a success of being the chair of the Adoption Leadership Board.
Well, that's really generous of you to say that, and hopefully we can, you know, through my writings and also just generally publicising the fact that you are open to those conversations. So is there a way you would accept submissions or thoughts? Is there...
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, perhaps you should advise me on that, actually.
All right, okay.
Because, you know, the way I deal with things is I used to receive letters, now I receive emails. Right. And I tend, well, I, one way, of course, is I meet with people, you know, right. Absolutely, conversation. And it's, I mean, yeah, it's been really interesting for me having a FaceTime interview. First time in my career, I've done all sorts of TV and radio, and this is the first time it's been done in this way. So this is quite, this is an experience for me. But I guess opportunities, I'm trying to get out and about to meet people. But if you've got other ideas about, you know, ways and means in which I can tune in to, you know, thoughts and ideas that are abroad, then I could do with that help.
All right. Well, I'll have a think. And obviously people can get in touch with me, but they can also do it through the Adoption UK Adopter Voice. There's all the forums there, contacting Adoption UK directly, who are kind of got quite a wide funnel to take information in. And email.
People can approach me direct too, you know. And so if I give you my email address, does that be accepted?
And I'll put that on my website. I've got it anyway, so I'll put it onto your website.
You've got it on the website.
Oh, well, that's been fantastic. And I think you've given me a lot of food for thought as well. And I'm going to put my little thinking cap on about how to influence you even further.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you accept gifts? I find a polished apple.
When I was employed, I used to, of course, have to fill out a hospitality book every time. I don't anymore, Al, so I'm open to all sorts of influence.
Bribery and trickery.
That is a joke.
I guess we'll clarify. That's a joke.
Yeah.
I'll cut that out, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you very much for your time, and hope to meet you soon.
Really nice to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Okay, so that was Andrew. That was very. I was surprised because I've only ever been in a meeting once, and he was kind of, it was one of those meetings that was very high powered, and he was whisked in for like 10 minutes, and he went, "Nice people," and then he was sort of whisked out again by a civil servant.
The EAG one? Yeah, I was at that one because I was doing some stuff on my little project.
You were doing a turn, weren't you? A little puppet.
I was singing. I was dancing. Well, I've met him a couple of times since.
Oh, get you.
Not that I'm a name dropper, but his message is consistent, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And
he feels genuine, and that he's got that actual knowledge base of, you know, he's been a social worker, he's done the job, he's placed children for adoption, which is really encouraging, which is not necessarily the case with the previous czar. And just to note, he does have more followers than you.
Yeah, I know.
That's why you're a bit less cocky now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Although, can I just say I've got more than Andrew Christie has. But,
all right. This is a window into your home life. And one thing that made me laugh, because I spoke to Andrew and he said, "Oh, give out my email address." And then about 3 minutes later, I got a little email saying, don't do that. And he gave me another email address, so I'm going to put that on the blog. And I think, like you'd mentioned to me when it was on, he's open, and that's
He is. He definitely is. Well, I think he is. I mean, do you know? I think the thing that gets me about these kinds of situations is that there's going to be people who get behind the person. And you know, I kind of, I'm as susceptible as the next person of going, "Oh, well, you know, yeah, they say all that, but actually." But I don't know, there's something there, and I don't know what it is, but, you know, I think that he does bring a little bit of a new kind of brush stroke to the whole situation. And, you know, I mean, he's not going to cure all ills, but I think that he's very keen to work with everybody to try and do his best. And I think that's all we can ask at the end of the day, or that's the minimum. That's the least that we can ask for someone in that position.
Yeah. Cause I think the predecessor kind of pushed through those three key issues. Mm. And now we're into this. Some of that's happened. Well, a lot of that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
What now? And he's clearly, you know, when I was talking to him, he was clearly very open to say, "Well, what else? How do we evolve this?" And even the conversation around time skills, which is so often the thing we can control is we all could prove adopters quicker, which everyone who isn't approved kind of goes, well, that's a great thing. Yeah. And everyone who is approved goes, no, slow down. And social workers, I know, because similar with the Form F, we have a time scale that I work to, and I just kind of think, for some people, that's great. And some people think, no, we need to make, we take a year and let's just do it right.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Good. I like it when you agree with me.
Yeah, I know. Well, so, you know, thumb screws are out, so no choice.
I will put up his email address, and I think it's important that people do contact him, and I'm sure they'll be filtered and or condensed. They'll probably collate views.
I'm sure he has people that do things for him.
Minions.
Yeah, like you do in your basement.
In my basement, yeah.
Yeah.
Write my blogs.
Mm, exactly. Mm.
I wrote their secret blog this weekend. Very pleased.
I don't know where the secret blog is.
No one knows. But I thought to myself, what if the secret blog got nominated?
I'd go and accept on your behalf.
I'd have to have. It'd be like no one's ever seen the secret blogger and Al Coates in the same room.
Yeah.
When you think of it, has anyone ever seen us in the same room together?
Hmm. Well, yes.
Yes, you're right.
Actually, they have. Yeah, so there's no point in that. Stupid, yeah, it? Yeah, that was. Plus, so Jenny was there, so, you know.
Yeah. How is being the adoption champion? How's that working out for you?
Part of the year?
Yeah, do you get free coffee at Adoption UK Towers every day?
No, I just get abuse at Adoption UK Towers.
Where is your trophy?
It's downstairs, hidden.
You're not propping something up with it.
No, it's just hidden because I'm quite a modest person.
Are you?
And, you know, says...
Describe what you can see.
Well, I can see, and I've just taken a screenshot.
You sly fox, you. You total sly fox, right. You email that. Yeah. That's totally unfair.
That's totes going on Twitter because you've just posted a picture of me looking rough, so, you know. You've won two. Yes, excellent. We know. And you'll probably win a third and a fourth. Adoption champions don't come along every day, and it takes years of, you know, blah, blah, like you said, whatever.
Excellent.
Yeah. I got invited. Yeah, but can I just say, I just got invited today to go on this morning, tomorrow morning. And I had to say no. Yeah.
Why? What about?
I'm not sure I can say what about. But it was something that I didn't have anything, that I'll never have any experience of. So I think it was more to do with my kind of professional capacity, should we say. And the historical kind of thing about adoption. But anyway, I couldn't do it because I wasn't able to get there for 6:30 in the morning.
Excellent. Well, I got a phone call on Wednesday. I got two phone calls, one from Radio Tees and one from Radio 4. And Radio Tees, they rang me up and they said, oh, hi, you're Al, because they've got my name. It's A for Al in their system. I went, have you seen about the football child abuse scandal? Do you want to come on and talk about that? And I thought, I don't know anything about football and I'm not a child protection social worker.
No, but
everything inside me said, just say yes to get on the radio. And I went, I'm sorry, I can't. It was just this tension that I was feeling, a desperate need for attention.
Had it been Radio 2, I'd have maybe said yes.
But I pulled away, so I was very wise. Mm. But actually, the Radio 4 was about child-parent violence. And
You did that, of course, didn't you?
No, I didn't. It wasn't an interview. It was a researcher, so that was interesting.
But
it's interesting to see that it's actually a topic that's it's really fizzing around at the moment.
Yeah, it is.
And I just want to keep that fizz going, so I've pushed it.
I do too. I think that, I think that you're lovely... survey, which I'm sure, in fact, I know you've had loads of replies to.
Yes.
Because there is so many people out there that, you know, are experiencing it. But I think that it's much needed, just even the basics of the survey to get a gauge on, you know, and who knows, obviously it's on Twitter. Hoping it's been shared wider than Twitter, so Facebook and stuff like that. And I hope you'll post the link.
I've
with
put
this
it into
podcast.
Some Faceback faces pages, but I'm not in some.
Did you just say Bookface?
No.
No? Oh, I thought you said Bookface.
No, Face. Put my teeth in. No, I've shared it as widely as I could, and I've asked a few people in different sort of spheres. To share it as well, and they've done that, which is really pleased about. So.
Mm.
But up till now, it's sort of 80% adopters.
Right, okay.
But I often think that we are in a position where we have a voice that others don't.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of crossover sort of things like kinship carers, foster carers, special guardianships. So even if their voices aren't heard, we are singing from the same sheet. So I thought... It's a start point, and it's something I was going to get the findings. Actually, I need someone clever to make sense of the findings.
Mm. I don't know where we'll find someone clever.
Mm. Perhaps the puppet master, wherever she is, she would do that for us.
I think she would.
Yes, she
would be fine with that. She has.
Up to W. She's very shy, camera shy.
Yes, I know. I can't believe that. She's got to be enough on Twitter. She wouldn't want it.
Blimey, I know. So she's going to help me collate that, and then we're going to kind of use it. And I know there's lots of other research out there, but I think even in the Beyond Your Option order, it said that there needed to be more. So let's do some more. Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Cheers to that.
Anyway, it's getting late. We're way past my bedtime.
And we're way past mine. I'm sure.
So in 30 seconds, what are you doing over the next few weeks?
What am I doing? Oh my god! You see now you put a time scale on that. I can't do that. Okay, so it's Adopted Voice this week. We're in the Southwest, and we're doing a lot of parent forums. And I may even plug that old survey while I'm down there.
You silver-tongued devil!
I tell you. And I'm meeting his Lord and Master on Wednesday for a nice one-on-one chat, so that'll be interesting. Right. And then by Saturday, I'm hoping to sleep.
Excellent. Well, that's good. I've got a busy week too. I'm doing something. I can't talk about what I do because it all involves people who probably don't want them to know. Yes.
No, but they all want to do a good deed.
They're all good people.
Good people.
And I like them all. So I'm doing that. Actually, I am going somewhere exciting. I'm going to...
Oh, no, you're not.
I'm going to...
Oh, my God, you're going to have to get out of that costume you're wearing.
Cheeky. No, I'm going to go to...
I saw you waving when I went past in the train. Don't deny it. You were dressed as a chimney sweep.
I was. But I'm going to go to Home for Good. Have you heard of Home for Good?
I have heard of Home for Good.
Yeah, they've got an event on Tuesday night. It'll be after this has gone out. So before this, after this. This is going out afterwards. I don't understand. My time machine is broken. So I'm going to go to that. And because, I am a man who has belief. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to go dig around and meet some people.
No, I know some people who are involved in them, so that's maybe something we can chat about in the future.
Yes.
And maybe we could get someone on to talk.
Someone who is clever and spiritual.
Well, they may exist. I don't know. Do they?
You could maybe have that combination as possible, I believe.
But it's an interesting topic because faith isn't something that I personally have. So I would, that's something for the future.
There's a lot of Christians out there, but I'd like to get some other faiths. Perhaps some Muslim adopters and foster carers.
Yeah.
I think I might know some. Anyway, off topic.
Yeah,
right,
we totally are.
Well, thank you very much for chatting. And
no problem. Have a good week.
You on the Twitter and this.
I shouldn't
the text and the Facebook and all of those things. Have a nice week.
And maybe sometime face to face,
Perhaps not. I think the restraining order is still in place.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, we're all right over FaceTime.
Excellent. Ta-ta.
Bon voyage.